It's a long way from Broadway musicals to the existential angst of Samuel Beckett. But listen to Billy Whitelaw and you might get the idea that Beckett was just a cosmic joker. Whitelaw was Beckett's favorite actor. She's been called his muse. And for more than two decades, she performed in his plays. She also took more traditional dramatic roles, playing opposite the likes of Olivier and Gielgud. But there's little doubt that Whitelaw would have been a bigger star if she had not been so devoted to Beckett. Steve Paulson wondered what lay behind her loyalty.
He's a genius. The man is a genius. And why I should be so lucky to have this man as a colleague and a friend, I just don't know. The man's a genius. I'm a very lucky woman.
So was it different to act in his plays than in any other plays? Or was it just a different kind of work for you?
Well, yes, because I usually do proper plays.
As opposed to these, whatever
you
call them.
As to these, which are not exactly improper plays, but yes, they are different to any plays that have ever been written by any writer. I mean, his imagination is astonishing. I mean, who would think of sticking on a stage in quite a large theatre a mouth where there's the rest of the body attached somewhere, but that's all hidden because I wore black over my face and over my nose and up to my neck and then this very delicate sort of like laser light.
That only spotlit your mouth?
Only spotlit my mouth.
This was the play, Not I.
That was a play called Not I, which was just a mouth, which I say has verbal diarrhea. But it's she just goes at an enormous pace, and all you want to see was the mouth. Sorry.
Well, tell me how that play was staged. You're up there on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing the audience can see
is my mouth.
Is your mouth.
Mm. And he wanted me sort of high up on the stage, so I sat in a chair, and I was high up. When I say high up, I mean it's I suppose about 6 feet up on a platform. Strapped into a chair because the speed of Not I is quite, it goes at quite a, as we would say, quite a lick. I don't know whether you have that expression mm-hmm. here.
Why would you need to be strapped in, though?
Well, because going at that speed, I'll give you just the first two lines. It goes like, out into this world, a tiny little thing, before it's time, and I got for what? Girl, yes, tiny little girl, into this, out into this. Well, you could do page after page after page going at that speed. Your head starts to shake. And your neck starts to shudder. And mine did. And therefore my mouth was going out of the light, which was very carefully racked up just to show my mouth. So they, I was strapped in around my head. It was a nightmare.
It sounds like it.
Awful.
And this went on for, was it 16 minutes?
Yes, he would have liked me to have done it in 10 or 12 had it been possible, but... I couldn't get it down to any lower than 60.
And it also sounds like just physically it must have been very demanding to have to sit there for, I mean, 16
yes.
minutes doesn't seem that long, but to do what you were doing with that kind of intensity, strapped in a chair so that you couldn't move, that sounds painful.
It was painful, actually. My back of my neck ached, my head ached, everything ached. And I said, never again, never, ever again when I've done this. And then... A couple of years later, they said, would you do this again? And I said, yes, okay. And then after that, I said, never again. And I mean it. Never, ever, ever again. Anyway, I've put it on film. The BBC filmed it. So if anybody wants to see it, I will show them the film and they can sit in the theatre and I'll blow it up to them.
What was Beckett trying to accomplish with that? I mean, why would he want to stage a play so that you can only see this mouth talking for 16 minutes?
I don't know. I never asked him any questions. I mean, that's what the great man wrote, so that's what this little woman tried to do. I never asked him any questions like that, you know. I just knew it had to go very fast.
Are you serious about that? I mean, don't you need to understand what he was trying
no,
to do?
I know. I got them. No. I just knew it had to go very fast.
I find this astonishing. I mean, you're often called Beckett's muse. You worked with him on and off for 25 years.
Mm.
And you're saying that you didn't necessarily understand what the plays were about that you were performing in.
I very rarely understood what the plays were about. I felt the emotions of it. I mean, to me, not I. It was like one long scream. And I understood the scream because my son had been very ill. My five-year-old had been really desperately ill. And I recognised when I read that. When I first read it through, I couldn't stop crying. And I couldn't talk to him, and I couldn't talk to the man who was going to do it. I could not stop crying. And the man who was supposedly directing it, but Sam was was really directing it, rang me, and I said, I'm going to have to, we're going to have to leave it for about an hour, I think. I can't stop crying. But if you were to ask me why I was crying, I couldn't tell you. It just hit a very sort of central, vulnerable part.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because you're really saying that it struck you at some very deep emotional part of you.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did.
Whereas my guess is that Beckett's reputation is far more cerebral. I mean, he's considered this intellectual playwright.
Well, if that's what he wanted, he wouldn't have got in touch with me, because I'm not an intellectual. And if that's what he'd wanted, he'd have gone for somebody else. I emotionally touch all the things that I do. I'm not an intellectual. I don't have a... And he knows I'm not, or mm-hmm. he knew. Yeah, he knows I'm not. and the director wanted Glenda Jackson to do it. And Sam settled, if you don't have Billy, you're not going to do it at all.
What was Beckett like to work with in the theater? I mean, my impression is he was very exacting. And you say he wasn't actually the director, but for all practical purposes, he was.
Yes. He was very demanding, in as much that, I mean, I very often with plays I did would sometimes freewheel a bit, sort of paraphrase things, just get the feeling of it and then sort of go back and get back. And he couldn't stand any of that. And I don't know which play it is. It's full of dots, sort of two dots or three dots in between, it seems, each word. And to show you how exact he was, he called me into... We were rehearsing in my dressing room. This is when I was at the National Theatre. And he called me in London. He was in my dressing room rehearsing, and after about 20 minutes, he said, Billy, will you bring your pencil over here, please? And so I went over with my pencil, and he said, turn to page 4, line 6, so fifth word in. Will you make those two dots, three dots, or make those three dots, two dots? And he had his head bent over this piece for 20 minutes, and he'd come up with crossing out a dot in between two words. That's how precise he was.
Meaning what? You're supposed to just wait a beat?
Well, yes, exactly. There are two-dot pauses, three-dot pauses, and there are one-dot pauses. Taught me quite a lot.
I've heard that one piece of advice that he often gave his actors, you included, was please don't act.
Don't act, exactly. Don't act. He just wanted it to come out of your centre. Or he would say, no, too much colour, too much colour. By colour he meant acting.
Now you talked about how rigorous it was to perform in Not I, being up on stage, strapped in a chair,
yes.
talking nonstop for a long time. That was not the only play where you were in, shall we say, strange circumstances?
And painful circumstances, no. Footfalls, which it seems on the face of it, this creature just walking up and down the stage, sort of 8 steps one way or 9 steps or whichever he decided on. And just walking very slowly and holding your both arms onto each shoulder and bent over, but each third you get lower and lower. I mean, I thought my back would break by the time I'd got to the last third. It is a very difficult play, if there's any actress listening who thinks of doing it. Don't think because you just walk up and down very slowly you're onto an easy thing, because you're not.
And then in Happy Days, weren't you buried up to your neck at one point? And was it
buried
mud
up the
or
waist
sand?
And then sand or arid earth, I think. Yes, up to my neck. That wasn't too bad. It was the length of it. It just goes on and on. And It's a one-woman piece. It goes on for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And you're buried the whole time?
Yes, yes.
Did he ever change anything because you complained about it or said it was too hard?
No. I mean, he's a dear, tender, loving man. I mean, he came down the aisle of the theatre with his arms outstretched, and I just sort of, I broke down, and my tears were streaming down my face, and I was desperately trying to carry on with this piece. It was most likely not eyes. It was the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. And I kept on sort of trying to keep going through all the tears. And I was saying to him, I'll make it, I will make it, I'll keep going. I kept on going and kept on going, and finally I couldn't. The prop men came and carried me off the podium I was on. And then I saw Sam coming down towards me with his arms outstretched. And he was just saying, oh, Billy, Billy, what am I doing to you? What am I doing to you? But nothing was altered. He said, well, let's go back and try again. So I climbed up back into the chair. Don't regret a second of it.
Billy Whitelaw, talking with Steve Paulson. She stopped performing Beckett's plays when the writer died in 1989. These days, when she's not at home looking after her grandchildren, Whitelaw teaches acting students how to perform Beckett. And by the way, to get a taste of Not I, that play where she talked nonstop for 16 minutes while strapped in her chair, here's an excerpt from the BBC production.
Feeling so dulled. She did not know what position she was in. Imagine what position she was in, whether standing or sitting. But the brae, what? Kneeling, yes. Whether standing or sitting or kneeling. But the brae, what? Lying, yes. Whether standing or sitting or kneeling or lying. But the brain still in a way. For her first thought was, oh, long after, sudden flash, brought up as she'd have been to believe with the other waves in the merciful God. Her first thought was, oh, long after, sudden flash, she was being punished for her sins.